6, Conversation Between Narada and Vyas, page section 23. The word meaning Satsangaya by the service of the Absolute Truth, Adhiraya, for some days, even Jata, having attained, Mayi unto me, Rudra, firm Moti intelligence, Hitva, having given up, Adyam, deplorable, Imam, this Lokam, material worlds, Anta, going to, Mat, Anakam, Anakam, my associates, I see, become. Satsangaya de jayati.
Satsangaya de
jayati. Mata mai pitamati.
Jata mai pitamati.
Hidvara jaminam lokam.
Hidvara jaminam lokam.
Kanta ma janata masi.
Kanta ma janata masi.
Satsangaya de jayati. By service of the Absolute Truth, even for a few days, a devotee attains firm and fixed intelligence in me. Consequently, he goes on to become my associate in the transcendental world after giving up the present, deplorable material worlds. Therefore, serving the Absolute Truth means rendering service unto the Absolute Personality of Godhead, under the direction of the bona fide spiritual master, who is a transparent via medium between the Lord and the neophyte devotee. The neophyte devotee has no ability to approach the Absolute Personality of Godhead by the strength of his present imperfect material senses. And therefore, under the direction of the spiritual master, he is trained in transcendental service of the Lord. And by such training, even for some days, the neophyte devotee gets intelligence in such transcendental service, which leads him ultimately to get free from perpetual inhabitation in the material worlds and to be promoted to the transcendental world, become one of the liberated associates of the Lord in the kingdom of God. And the Prabhupada the King. Om Ajnana Kimanandasya Ganandanasya Kaya Nakshara Nila Kamrina Tasmaya Shri Gurave Namaha Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna.
I know there's nobody here, but at least those that are here. It's something. Okay. Same thing happened last time, so let me say that. I'll do the best I can. So, today's purport focuses on the guru, the spiritual master. So most of our discussion is going to be centered around the relationship between guru and disciple. But I'd like to start by going back to yesterday's class given by Nagra Prabhu. Very nice class. But I'm going to go back to the very beginning in which he did something which I think really helped the rest of the class that he gave attract the attention and consciousness of the devotees. If you recall, you were listening to class yesterday, you start off by giving us a visual presentation of the scene that was taking place. Remember that? He said how, he described how the sages were sitting in an ashram discussing Shastra. If you think about that image and what it could, the message that it conveys about how to understand Shastra, even the conflicting opinions of various acharyas that Nagaraj was explaining yesterday become something more reconcilable because of the atmosphere in which it's, the setting in which it's seen. Imagine, if you will, the same kind of differing opinions of the acharyas set in a court of law. In a court of law, there's a judge, he has a gavel, and when he pounds his gavel, that's right. What he doesn't pound his gavel for, that's wrong. Just get that image in your mind and try to fit sages sitting and coming to a reconcilable conclusion to their discussion that has many different angles or ways in which to see something. So the atmosphere, the setting in which discussions of the Absolute Truth, the Personality of Godhead take place have to be, are by necessary necessity, they have to be conducive to the discussion and the participants. Now this is true in a lot of different ways, and we all experience it every day. Maybe very vividly we experience it, maybe to a lesser degree we experience it. But when we sing Sri Guru Vandanam to Srila Prabhupada, If we get a view of the setting that's being described by, who's the author? Narottam Das Thakur. Very poetic personality, Narottam Das Thakur, who's writing his songs. So if we get some idea of the image that he's giving us in Sri Guru Vandana, then our appreciation can develop more and more of why we're singing the song to our spiritual master and where it places us in relation to him. I want to give you another example before we go into specifically looking at Sri Guru Vandana and the image it's created. The other day, in our house, while we were sitting there in lockdown, an old video of Shyam Govinda Prabhu surfaced, where they were showing how a bogey yogi was holding seminars and charging people money. And the bogey yogi was, you can just imagine, new agey in his dress and his movements, lightheaded, everything's love and light, kind of a Mayavadi presentation. That view of a guru attracts a lot of people to so-called spiritual life. They think that's what a guru is. I know my own father, when I was becoming a devotee and going to leave to join the temple, he had a talk with me. And he had a laugh about Guru Maharaj Ji, because there was some note in a magazine, Time magazine or something, about how he had a toothache. And so the idea of a all of peace and love, head in the air, guru having a toothache made him laugh. He thought that was funny. Spiritual life was being mocked. But that view of a guru is not what our view of a guru is and our position with him. I think even in those days, like the Beatles, they would have pictures of them and Maharishi Yogi sort of floating in the air, head spinning around, flowers, this kind of a presentation of what a guru in spiritual life is about. But that's not the view that we get in Narottam Das Thakur's bhajan about the guru. If you just think in your mind of the translation, I'm going to refer to it here as we describe the imagery that we find. Sri Guru Charana Padma Kevala Bhakti Sadhana. Where does that line place us in relationship to the guru? It places us at his feet. At the feet of the guru is where the imagery leads us. Sri Guru Charana Padma, the lotus feet of the spiritual master, Kevala Bhakti Sadhana, are the only way that we can attain pure devotional service. Same thing, point is being made in the purport here today, that you need the guru. You have no ability to approach the Absolute Personality of the Godhead by the strength of your present and perfect senses. Therefore, under the direction of the spiritual master, he is trained in transcendental service. So the energy starts, it confirms, Sri Guru Charana Padma. Now if we go further in the bhajan, we see in the second stanza, Sri Guru Charana Rati, Ese Uttama Gati. Sri Guru Charana, the dust of the lotus feet of the spiritual master. Again, we're at his feet. But what can we attain by being at his feet? Ese Uttama Gati, the highest. So from the lowest position in relation to the Guru to the highest. That's how we get to the highest. By going to the lowest, to his feet. And then finally, Paha Prabhu Kora Doya Deha Mora Pada Choya. The spiritual master is an ocean of mercy, the friend of the poor. And we're begging Pada Choya, taking the shelter of the lotus feet. So that's the imagery, that's the position of Guru in our spiritual sojourn. He's our master, he's our Lord and our master, and our place is at his feet. That will give us the ultimate spiritual realization. And so, keep that picture in your mind. That picture should be in our mind. Why do we sing this song every day? Prabhupada was concerned. Do you know the meaning? He would say. So the meaning is Padachaya at his feet. That's what we're meant to be. So we should keep that imagery in our mind whenever we get and hear instructions about our relationship with the Guru. Because from that position you can understand the reality. Otherwise, there are so many other things that we can think and do. We should be very careful. So to illustrate this further, there's a couple of stories that I want to tell and focus on in the class this morning that further illuminate how we take shelter at the lotus feet of the spiritual master. So, you probably know these stories. They're not something that's unknown. But two. One, Eklavya. Eklavya. And the other is about a devotee named Upamanyu. I'm sure that everyone's heard of Eklavya. But maybe not Upamanyu. So, when speaking about Eklavya, Gogavinda Swami Maharaj gives some extensive commentary. So we'll be hearing that as we describe. But the first thing, the first point he makes is that disciple means under strict discipline. Disciple means under strict discipline. Same as we've been saying, not the airy-fairy kind of guru and disciple relationship. So disciple means under strict discipline, there is no slackness. It's interesting, recalling Srila Gaura Govinda Maharaj the other day when Kishore was giving class. He referred to a time when Gaura Govinda Maharaj went to his house with prasadam. And the question was raised about, do you have love for God? Or do I have love for God? Or how can I experience love for God? And in perfect imitation of his voice, what is his name? Premananda Gaura. In perfect imitation of Gaura Govinda Maharaj, Baba! No love of God for you. So it's not a very easy thing. Disciple means strict discipline, as described in this article. So he says, Guru will put you to a test. Let us see whether he is a bona fide disciple or a bogus disciple. Is he serious to get the mercy and understand Krishna or not? So, the Guru puts you to a test, and that's what we find in both these stories, Eklavya and Upamanyu. So, Eklavya, he was a forest dweller. Eklavya was a forest dweller. But he wanted to learn the science of archery. He wanted to be a great archer. He had a desire to be a great archer. And so, at least because the culture he was from emphasized that you learn from a guru, at least because that he was part of that society, then he understood that if I want to become a great archer, I should go to a guru to teach me. And so he thought, let me approach Dronacharya. He's a great teacher, and because I want to be a great archer, let me approach him. So he did that. And because he was from a tribal family, forest dweller, Dronacharya said, no, 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 you are not allowed. This school is only for the princely order. When you get out, you can't come here. So this is the first instruction of the guru, not only to Eklavya, but it may happen to many of us. We may approach the guru, and the guru may say, no, no, I won't initiate you. I'm not qualified. Approach someone else. Who did this happen to? It's on our altar. Sri Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur. He approached Gaur Kishore Das Babaji Maharaj, asking for initiation. No, 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 I can't give. So the guru tests. That's the point, the guru tests. So Eklavya, he approached Dronacharya. Dronacharya tested. No, no, you can't be taught. But this Eklavya, he had a desire to learn. And in this little article that I'm referring to, Google Inamarj says, his desire was so strong that he was staying in the forest 8 miles away from the palace where instruction was being given to the Pandavas and the Kaurava princes. But he cleared the path, he cleared the forest in such a way that from 8 miles, he could see what Dronacharya was teaching. He could see what Dronacharya was teaching from 8 miles away, and he was imitating that in his own practice to become a great archer. So strong was his desire. So Dronacharya had his favorite disciple, who was Arjuna. And indeed, he promised Arjuna, after seeing Arjuna's prowess, he promised Arjuna that no one will surpass you. No one can surpass you in this science. Indeed, Arjuna had pleased his guru, and he had pleased Krishna himself. And in that way, he got the mercy of Krishna. Now, Eklavya, it wasn't that he was somebody that didn't have any good qualities. He had some good qualities. Otherwise, how could he become so determined? If one's mind can't be fixed, it's described in Bhagavad Gita. Eke hai kudanandana, what is it? The avasayatmika buddhiya. This is required. Prabhupada pointed out in the purport to that verse. This means being strictly adherent to the order of the spiritual master. So to do that is not ordinary. Somebody has some quality that they can do that. So Akhilya had some good qualities, material qualities. But material qualities in themselves are not the total sum of what you can exercise to get the mercy of the Guru. You may be a good person, that doesn't mean, materially speaking, you may be a good person, but that doesn't mean that you automatically are going to get the mercy of the Guru. No, you'll be tested. Speaking of this testing, let's try to focus on Upamanyu for a minute. Upamanyu was a disciple of Joma, the Pandava's family guru. He was a disciple of this Roman, and he was a simple man, and he was given instruction by his guru that you take care of my cows. That was given as his service. So he began his service, and after a few days, Dromia said, Upamanyu, you're getting fat. Are you eating something? He questioned him. You're getting fat, I can see. Are you eating something? So Upamanyu said, yes, Gurudev. I do Marikar in the village, and I get some little food, and I eat that. So what was Dromia's response? Oh, who gave you permission to do that? Immediately he tested. Who gave you permission to eat by doing Marikar? House to house, begging for little food. Who gave you permission? Did I give you permission? The Guru did not give him permission. Indeed, he said to him that whatever you beg and receive by doing Madhukari, that belongs to me. Why are you taking my property? He criticized him like this. So I said, Upamanyu, no. I won't do it anymore, Gurudev. I won't do this. So then, some days went on, he was taking care of the cows. But again, his guru noticed that you're getting a little fat, I can see. Now, where is this fat coming from? So Upamanyu said, dear Gurudev, after I do Madhukari, then when I go for a second time doing Madhukari, at that time I take the food is good. Oh, who gave you permission to do this? Gurudev, no one gave me permission. Why are you doing? You're supposed to follow my order strictly. No slackness. So Upamanyu said, yes, Gurudev. Now, after a few days, every day Upamanyu would go out in the morning, take care of the cows all day long, he would come back in the evening. So after a few days, Dromia saw that Upamanyu was still getting fat. how are you getting fat? He saw him. So he said, he called him and said, I told you no, don't eat the madhikari. This is my property. But you must be eating something because you're still getting fat. What are you doing? So he described that I'm drinking some milk from the cows. No, you can't do. Later, you're still getting fat. Why are you getting fat? Oh, when the cows drink, some foam comes on their mouth. And I take that foam and I eat. No. Who allowed you? Why are you taking? Such strict discipline. That Upamanyu couldn't eat anything without the permission of his guru. So he was getting hungry at this point. And so he went out to take care of the cows, which was his service. Don't think, by the way, just by taking care of cows, he doesn't get uttamagati. Don't think that. He gets it. Just wait. So after a few days, he was hungry. He wasn't getting anything to eat. So he took some leaves from some plant to eat them. Unfortunately, those leaves were poisonous, and by taking it, he became blind. Upamanyu became blind by the poison. Such a test by his guru he went through. So he became blind, and as a result of that, he stumbled on the path and fell into a deep, dark well. And so he didn't return in the evening. When he didn't return in the evening, then Dromia, where is Upamanyu? He hasn't returned for a good day. Well, then let's go and search him out. Guru cares for his disciple. We have to understand the test, though. He tested him so severely. But when he didn't come back, the Guru and others went out to try to find him. So they were calling his name, Upamanyu, Upamanyu. And then they heard a voice coming from a well. Coming from a well. I'm here, Gurudev. What are you doing there? And he explained, I ate these leaves, I became blind, I fell into the well. And at that point, Guru told them some instruction what to do. You should worship the Ashwini Kumaras, the medical doctors among the demigods. And they can give you an antidote, a vaccine. They'll give you a vaccine where you can take to get your eyesight back. So they gave some cake and said, you eat this cake. But at this point, the value of the test, the instructions became to their fruition. Upamanyu said, no, I won't eat the cake without my guru's permission. I've learned. I won't eat without my guru's permission. So he wouldn't take the cake. And the Ashwini Kumar said, well, in the past a similar thing happened to you. And your guru himself, he also took this cake from us and ate it. No, until my guru tells me, then I won't eat. So he got the order from his guru, and he learned. He was tested. So however severe and difficult the order of the guru may be, a real disciple, Sat Shishya, will carry it out, even if it requires that his life must be given, he sacrifices his life. He thinks, what is the value of my life if I cannot serve Guru and Gauranga and gives him some pleasure? If a disciple becomes deprived of seva, then it is death, because I am eternally a servant. If I am deprived of my service, why shall I survive? So this is testing. Upamanyu was tested. He passed the test. It was a severe test. Now all of us to one extent or another also have been tested or are being tested. You wonder sometimes, how is this happening to me? How is this happening to my God brother, my God sister? How? It's the test of the Guru. We should have that conviction. Otherwise, why are we reading these stories from Mahabharata and everything if we don't apply them to our life? So tested. He was tested. Dumandu was tested. Just like Eklavya was tested. Eklavya was told, no, I won't teach you. But what was Eklavya's fault? What was Eklavya's fault? That Eklavya didn't accept that instruction, first instruction. If Dronacharya was his guru, then why he didn't accept the instruction that I won't teach you? And instead, because of a desire to best, to be better than Arjuna, to be the best archer, he neglected the order of his guru. Of course, many people in India, they take the idea that this Eklavya was a great devotee because some circumstances happened. The Pandavas were wandering in the forest and they were approached by a dog that had 7 arrows in his mouth. They were shot very expertly. And Arjuna was thinking, I can't do that. Who's done this? And so they came upon Eklavya. And he said, I've done this. And so Arjuna was a little upset. So he went and he reported this to Dronacharya. Dronacharya came to Eklavya's place. And he asked him, so I'm your guru? Eklavya had made some image, some deity of Dronacharya. He was worshipping that image, getting the lessons, stealing the lessons from 8 miles away. Oh, so I'm your guru? Then give me my dakshi, my exchange for teaching you. So he cut off, give me your right thumb. Right thumb is necessary for being a good archer. So he said, you're my disciple, then give me your thumb. Cut it off. So he immediately did that. So many people in India, they think, oh, Eklavya is a great devotee. His guru asked him to cut his thumb, and he immediately did it. But why he didn't follow the first instruction? All of a sudden, now he's following? No. His desire to be great drove him to disobey the order of his guru. Actually, it opened the door for more offenses, more speculation. He made some deity of his guru, speculated this way. He became more offensive in his attitude toward a devotee, Arjuna, who had the mercy of guru and Krishna. So cutting off his thumb, although it looks like surrender, it's still based on his desire to be recognized. Recognized what? As greater than a Vaishnava. He had a desire to be greater than a Vaishnava. So Eklavya, he's not the great devotee that we think, or he might appear by his actions. He has some material abilities, he utilized them. But ultimately, you know what his end was? He was killed by Krishna himself. In the battle of Kurukshetra, he took the side of the Kauravas, Eklavya, and Krishna himself killed children. Now there's a whole thing about the type of mukti he got. Being killed by Krishna gives you some liberation. But he gave him Sayuja Mukti, merging into the oneness. And that's not indicative of giving him mercy because he didn't get a chance to be a devotee. But anyway, Guru tests the disciple. But we may ask a couple of questions about these histories. How could a guru be so cruel to Upamanyu by not letting him eat? So he ultimately ate some poison and went blind. How is that possible that the guru would let that happen? We cannot have a material conception of what is good or bad, right or wrong, when it comes to the order of the guru. That's the question. That's the issue. We're anxious to apply our material reasoning, even if it's moral reasoning, we're anxious to apply that to the instructions of the guru. But that can't be done. Guru cannot be bound in that way. But this requires surrender. So are we ready to surrender, to accept that Domya would be so cruel? Was he cruel? This Upamanyu, he got, let me read it here. In the end, he got Krishna Bhakti. So was he cheated? He got Guru Kripa. Obtaining the blessings and mercy of his Guru Dev, Upamanyu developed pure Krishna Bhakti. All Vedic tattva, siksha, and jnana, truth, learning, and knowledge became manifest in him. He took care of the cows. But he got Krishna Bhakti by following the order of his Guru. Is it some cheating? So, final two questions about these things is, how is it that Drona, he could be seen as being partial to Arjuna? How do we understand? Is he partial? Was Drona partial to Arjuna? And the next question is whether it was enviousness on the part of Arjuna that he reported Eklavya to Dronacharya. So how do we reconcile these things? Well, I'll just read here what Gaudamamala says. Such thinking is not good. This is material consideration. But how is it that Eklavya got such skill, and how is it that a devotee like Arjuna became jealous? Is this bona fide? Is what's been done correct or incorrect? If Eklavya had no right to learn this skill, then how could he get it? That is not the issue. The point is that if Eklavya had such guru bhakti, and if he had the mercy of the guru, then quite naturally, he would also have the mercy of Krishna. But later on, Eklavya was killed by Krishna. How is it that he was killed by Krishna? The demons who are killed by Krishna get Sayuja Mukti and personal liberation. Eklavya got Sayuja Mukti. This means that Krishna was not pleased with him, and Drona was not pleased. Nobody was pleased with him. So can we take this test? Can we accept, or we think, oh, this is too much? It goes on to describe how Arjuna brought this up so that the speculation of impersonalism would not develop. It's that probably he made the deity of Dronacharya, he actually was developing, he was speculating on spiritual life instead of taking instruction. So Arjuna actually saved him from this type of speculation, which was ruining his chances to hear from his guru, to really hear. So these are some thoughts about guru-disciple relationship, the seriousness of it. Actually, Srivastanatan Goswami and Hari Bhakti Vilas, one last point. Srivastanatan Goswami and Hari Bhakti Vilas talks about those who reject a bona fide guru. So we might hear this and we think, well, this is too much. Or we may get tested in such a way, we think, well, this is too much. This cannot be a bona fide guru. But Sanatana Goswami has a different opinion. He says, those who reject an authorized spiritual master who comes into succession are so condemned that even carnivorous animals like eagles, vultures, dogs, foxes, wolves, etc., will not eat their flesh. The guru rejected disciples, Srihari automatically rejects him too. The disciple's intelligence then becomes polluted, and he or she starts showing great arrogance. Such disciples are the lowest among mankind. If after formally accepting the guru, they reject him out of religion, such disciples will rot in hell for many of the practice. That example is there in Srila Prabhupada's classrooms also. But we'll stop there. Maybe there's some reflection. Sorry, I went a little longer.
I have a question. How is that Sinishkami give a disciple name Apollo?
You give a disciple what?
Name Apollo.
I don't know. I respect both Apollo Das and his being. Maybe, I'm sure they've discussed, maybe they've discussed. Next time I meet him, I'll meet him and I'll ask him.
So I have another question. So do I need to go through the test? If Upamanyu would knew the story of another person like Upamanyu went through, would he do this? Or actually, there is always different format of test. Every disciple will do.
No, every disciple goes through tests. And the point is that we think, oh, I'm intelligent, I'm experienced, therefore I don't need to be tested by guru. Mm-hmm. But that's illusion. We need to be tested. Srila Bhaktisiddhanta, that scholar came to him. He said, I want to become your disciple. He said, oh, very good. You go with this devotee, he'll take you to the Goshala, and you clean the Goshala. No, but I'm a big scholar. You don't understand. I've come to surrender to you. No, I understand quite well. Go clean the Goshala. So, no matter what our material qualifications, we still need to be tested by the guru. We will be tested by the guru. Thank you. Some more?
Yes. In Upamanyu's case, the guru gave him such really harsh instructions. And but when Upamanyu became blind and everything, the guru was able to had an antidote for his blindness, and he had the power. So sometimes it may seem like one may feel like, oh, the guru gives such heavy instructions, and what a disciple may go through following those instructions may seem maybe the Guru is not able to deliver his material discomfort or materially problems, you know, like in this case, Upamanyu became blind. So the Guru was able to get his vision back. I mean, he gave him bhakti and everything, but he also was able to give his vision back. So in other words, the disciple may be hesitant to follow such instructions and may not feel have the faith, because maybe the Guru doesn't have the capability of rectifying one's.
Well, I mean, it's a matter of faith. That should be able to have our feelings now to be able to have our feelings now. If you have firm faith in the words of the Guru and Krishna, then all good things can be attained by you. All knowledge can be understood by you. It depends on your firm faith. If you have that, cultivate that. If you don't have it, then you should cultivate. How to cultivate? By associating with those that do have that firm faith. There's no other way. All words of Prabhupada. Some say Prabhupada said something to the effect that anyone who is following my instructions is devotee. Or anyone who does surrendered service to Lord Chaitanya's movement, he is a devotee. They use these statements to argue against the need for formal initiation by a bona fide spiritual master. He is in my heart. Please comment. Your instructors as advanced. Please comment about whether formal initiation is important. Is it important? Yes. It's important. Any other?
You have to say no.
Well, I don't know. In the Shastras it describes that one should approach a spiritual master in the service, take initiation. So I don't know where so many ideas come from. There are those better than I that can quote the Shastra. The Shastra confirms the point being made. Saintly persons confirm the point being made. Why is speculation that this is necessary or not necessary? Krishna consciousness is voluntary in teaching us how to love Krishna. Why such a real test in you? Because we're rascal? What?
Let's go on the
bottom?
Yeah.
I heard Ramana's story from Mahavira Swami, who's the disciple of Gurudharma Swami, and he explained that Ramana was tested that way because his guru had gone through this exact same test and failed. Wow. At the end, Srini Kumar's story fell, but the guru that's the important point. His guru had gone through and failed, but then he didn't pass. He passed, therefore he understands the value of test and then passing them. So he gives test to his disciples in the same way. That's a good point. Nothing goes in vain. We have some experience that helps us advance in Krishna consciousness. We should share that with others. That would be for our benefit and for their benefit. Mantra Srimad Bhagavatam Jesus.